one. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And every time you look to the cross and think of Jesus' death and resurrection, that was all done so that you could be in a close, intimate relationship with the God of the universe. It's such good news. My name is Paul Johnson. If we haven't met before, I am the pastor of generosity for our Aspen Grove Network. And I need to do a little check-in to see how many people have been at different sites. So we have a site in Minnetonka. Anyone know the name of that site? Mercy Hill. Anyone ever been at Mercy Hill? Go and check it out sometime. It's really fun, or check them online. We have a new site in Plymouth. Anyone know the name of it? Foundry. A lot of you were very instrumental in helping the Foundry get going. Anybody have a chance to be at the Foundry? Good for you. Good for you. Woodridge is the site in Medina. Anyone ever been at Woodridge? Yeah, good. And then the Highlands. And that's the sites right now of our Aspen Grove Network. I get to work with all those sites at promoting and celebrating and encouraging generosity. I've got a few announcements for you. One, there is a ministry fair coming up in August on the 24th and 31st, and then the first Sunday in September on September 7th. And take advantage of that to find out different ministries and where you could use your gifts to love people and make a difference. We're a growing church, so we have growing opportunities for people to connect and get together. And then tonight, there's a prayer gathering. And there's nothing more powerful than praying together. So I hope a lot of you will come out and join in that prayer gathering. One other announcement I want to, and really request for you, is at the end of August, August 27th and 28th, Darla and I are celebrating 50 years of being married and 50 years of being in ministry, of being a pastor. We started our first church when we were 20 and got married. In fact, the story is 2 weeks before we were going to get married and then come back and finish our degrees at Bethel University, the little church that I had been helping with over the summer, everyone had turned them down. And I got a call and they said, you know, either we're going to suspend services or would you and Darla ever agree to come and be the pastor just for 1 year, just for 1 year. And we came and started, we like to say we started playing house and playing church at the same time. And there was this event. We had a four, and a lot of you have these kind of stories. We had a four-room house. It didn't have central heating. There was like a heating unit in the living room, and then you kept the doors open so that the heat would kind of transmit around the house. It had a refrigerator, but no stove. And I remember standing in that little spot and going, God, what are you doing? You know, how have we ended? Is this fair to Darla? And I'm just sort of debating, almost arguing with God. And then the thought came, well, if this is what you want for us, Lord, would you let me be married for 50 years? And would you let me be a pastor for 50 years? And I had this sense that God was saying, you'll always be a pastor. Now, our dads had both died when we were 19 and at 42 and 46. So the idea of even living long enough to be married for 50 years seemed outlandish. And anyway, God's granted that prayer. And I just want to celebrate all that God's done and God's great gift. So on that Wednesday night, Darla and I are going to talk about marriage. We think we have some unique insights to say. There'll be a free dessert right after that. And then on Thursday, there's a leadership lunch where I'll be sharing things I've learned about leadership. And then that night, we have Chef Rassi is doing a Minnesota barbecue. It's all free. And then we'll have a time where some national leaders and my kids will just talk about our marriage and our ministry and have a chance to celebrate that. We'd be honored if you would sign up and come out. We need you to sign up so we have an accurate count for the food. And you'll get an email from Aspen Grove or from the Highlands with that registration form. Well, wanna pray before we start our message. Join with me as we pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're so grateful that we get to know you, get to follow you. We wanna pray for Pastor Aaron and the team that is in Stockholm, Sweden, serving the New Life Network. We pray that you would use them there to encourage and build up that church and help support the leaders there. Lord, I pray for people here that might be going through hard and difficult times, that today they would know that you go with them in those hard times and the Highlands goes with them, that you are with them and for them, and this church is with them and for them. Lord, we think of our world and we pray that there would be more and more people that would come to know you right here in Delano and the surrounding area, but all across Minnesota, the United States, and the world. And Lord, we pray now that you would do the miracle that really only you can do, and that's take the words that I share and the scripture that I read and fashion a message that would impact each person individually. It's so astounding that you can do that. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So each morning when I start my day, 5:25 is when I get up. It doesn't matter when you get up. I stumble on the floor over to where my iPhone is plugged in. I turn off the alarm. And then while I'm on my knees, I start my day by saying certain things to God. They're kind of affirmations I say to God, and they also are a prayer. And I'll go, you are God and I am not. And then after that, I'll say, I am your beloved child. And then I'll say, this is the second best kind of day, because the Bible says that if God did what was best for you, he'd take you to heaven. I would have died in my sleep. So I go, this is the second best kind of day. Show me your purpose. You've got me here today for some kind of purpose. And then I'll say, I choose to die to self so that I can truly live. And I believe that if I die to self, then I will really experience the life that God intends for me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and lead me by your Spirit into more and more of the life of Jesus. Then I get up, I stumble into the kitchen, get my cup of coffee, go and read my Bible and pray and start my day. Now I've added something to that that I want to tell you about today. And it's in our topic. We're in a series called The Journey of a Disciple. And the topic today is, how do you get close to God? How do you stay connected with God and stay in a vital relationship with him? You know, for a lot of us, we'll think of things just like I said, where you pray or you read your Bible. There's a little kid song that all kids seem to learn in the grade school or preschool time, where it says, read your Bible and pray every day and you'll grow. And you'll grow. And you have the little kids start out low and then go on up a little higher. And, you know, I think that is a wonderful thing to do. But at times I wonder, is that really spending time with God? Or is that learning about God and about our personal growth? How do you spend time with God? And then, I don't know if you experience this, but so many people I talk to, they'll go, you know, I go to church at the Highlands and I feel really close to God. Or I read a devotional in the morning and I feel close to God. But then I can go through kind of my whole day and not think about God. Is there any way that I could get connected with God so I felt like throughout the day I was spending time with God? And I think I found one thing that at least in my life works to accomplish that. And it comes from words that Jesus spoke and where he said something was pivotal. Something was to be the focus. Something was essential. Listen to them from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came and tried to ask him a hardball question, and he just was able to answer it with ease. The Pharisees, another religious group of Judaism, got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest command in the law?" And you know what they were hoping is they'd get him caught in a debate. Like, oh, you think that one's most important? We think this one is most important. And it just would be a religious argument like they were having all the time. Well, Jesus said, and he quotes from the Old Testament, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Now listen to these last words. All the law and prophet, in other words, everything else taught in the Bible hangs on these two commands. Now think of that. All of what the Bible says hangs on the commands to love God and love other people. You know, it's kind of like a hinge on a door. I don't know if you've ever had a time where the hinge plate got loose. And I remember an old house that we owned, and the hinge plate got loose, and I re-screwed it a couple times. But after re-screwing it a couple times, I realized, you know, it no longer was holding into the wood. And, you know, it would lean in, and the door would just be wedged shut unless you just pushed with all your might or pushed on the window frame of it to get it to open, pull up on the handle. If the hinges were off, then that door was absolutely useless. Everything depended on the hinges. Everything depended, and what was essential were those hinge plates holding that door in place. Well, what Jesus is saying here is loving God and loving people is absolutely essential. It's not just like a good thing to try to do, but it is a matter of what should be the focus of our lives. An author, Andy Crouch, says this: "The Jewish way of asking the question of human flourishing is, what is the greatest command? Because the commands are seen by faithful Jews as God's kind deposit of opportunity to live the full human life that had been given especially to the Jewish people in the scriptures. And so the way you ask the question of what is ultimate good of human life is to ask, what is the greatest command? And Jesus answers that the greatest command is all about loving God and loving people, and that there could be nothing more important than this. Now, I want to draw your attention in that when he says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your soul. The idea of adding all in there is that it is a developmental process. You grow in your love. It's not just static. Whatever way you're able to love right now, if you keep on following God and staying close to Him by loving God and loving other people, you'll even have a greater capacity in the days that follow that. You have a greater ability to love other people. So Jesus is saying, grow in your ability to love God and love other people. Now, I realized that this needed to be central to living my life with God. That it wasn't just like a good idea that I should think about every so often, but it was something that was so essential and so much a focus that I needed to have it in my life at all times. So I started at the end of those morning declarations that I make, telling God, today, would you help me love you with all that I am? And would you help me love other people and see what's going on in other people and love them too? You know what I discovered? When I prayed that in the morning to start my day, then I just would notice all through the day, it was little reminders to love someone, little reminders to stay in a conversation a little longer, little reminders to help other people. And I kind of kept track of them. You know, I remember one day I had a lot to do, a lot of projects to complete, a lot of messages to write and some emails that needed to get composed and some assignments from the site leads. And I was working away and a guy stopped by and he was bringing a donation, a great donation to help do a well project in Ethiopia, an amazing story that with our work with World Vision, we're able to join in. So he gave me the check and I thought, I'll go and put it in our safe, and I thanked him. But he wanted to sit and talk. So he sat down and he's just talking away about all kinds of stuff. And I'm thinking, I've got work to do. I've got things I've got to accomplish. I was planning I'd get these things done during this time. You know how that feeling is? And then it was like the Holy Spirit was just going, love people. Love this guy. Spend time. So then I just thought, okay, I started asking him questions after question, hearing more about his heart, hearing more about why the Ethiopia had become so important to them. And just thankful that he goes to our Mercy Hill site and just thankful for what he and his wife were accomplishing and doing there. And then, finally said, oh, I got to go. I'm going to be late for an appointment. And he took off and I just, God, thank you. Thank you for letting me see him and care for him and be with him. And I was walking him to the door and this guy shows up on a bicycle, a really nice bicycle, you know, a helmet, biking gear, all of that. He walks in and he goes, is there a pastor here? And I was tempted to go, yeah, go in that door. There must be a pastor someplace down in there. And I said, yeah, well, I'm a pastor. And he said, well, I've never been here, and I have some questions. And I thought, Lord, when in the world am I going to get my work done? And the reminder came again, just love this guy. Well, he came and sat down, and he had a friend who was getting baptized in 3 days out at Lake Independence. And he was right on the edge of making a commitment to Christ. And he sat down and I talked him through what the gospel was, talked him through what baptism was. He said, could I ever get baptized? I said, yeah, you could get baptized. Give me your email. I'll connect you and connect the information. Well, he didn't get baptized that time. But the next Sunday with his friend, he was at Woodridge. And I think it won't be long, and he will be baptized. And I finished that time up, and I thought, Lord, you're reorienting me to see what your real work is. Your real work is the people that I can be with and the people that I can love. You know, when I do that, I just sense all through the day that dependence on God is so much more vital. Look at this verse on the screen. It just came to me in a new way as I've been living this out. It's a prayer in 2 Thessalonians 3:5. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. You know what that's saying? I can't even love God and love people without the Lord working first. So that if I want to love God and I want to love people and I want to focus on loving God and loving people, I need to live more dependently on Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and see God's involvement in my life moment by moment. And so I've sensed just a much greater closeness to the Lord God as I focused on loving God and loving people. Now, I still read the Bible. I still pray. In fact, I do it almost more often. But the gap time is much less because I've added that to my life. So if you want to be close to God all through the day, focus on what Jesus said is absolutely essential. Focus on what Jesus says everything else depends on, and that's loving God and loving people. Well, before we go to worship, I want to give you an opportunity to say how I start my day and add that phrase in. But just before then, I kind of had, as I was praying about this and talking to God about it, God gave me a metaphor for it. Because, you know, every year at Christmas time, we put up a Christmas tree, but it's not just having a green tree in our house that is enough. And if we could start rolling that video, you put a star up on top. That's what we do at our house. And putting that star up on top is a way of symbolizing that it's remembering the Lord. And then we put beautiful decorations all across the tree. And as we do that and put those decorations on, it reminds us of when we got that particular ornament and the memories we had with that. You know what I started saying in my morning prayer time to God? Is I would go, Lord, today, would you decorate my life with acts, words, and thoughts of loving you and loving other people? And then at the end of the day, I'll just think back on the day and think of every way, big and small, that God helped me to love him and to love other people. Well, if you can, go to your knee. If you can't, just sit. I'm going to say the phrases and invite you to repeat them after me before we stand and worship. So either go to your knee or sit right where you are. I'll say it once and then say it a second time with you saying it out loud. So I go, you are God and I am not. Say that together. You are God and I am not. I am your beloved child. I am your beloved child. This is a second best kind of day, so show me your purpose. This is a second best kind of day, so show me your purpose. I choose to die to self so that I can truly live. I choose to die to self so that I can truly live. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lead me by the Spirit into more and more of the life of Jesus. Lead me by the Spirit into more and more of the life of Jesus. Lord God, decorate my day with acts, words, and thoughts of loving you and loving other people. Lord God, decorate my day with acts, words, and thoughts of loving you and loving other people. Let's stand together and close our service by singing out God's praise.